I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So when the president of the United States tweets anything that implies go back to your country, it cuts deep. It is hurtful, especially for black and brown people. Why is that? Well, it's a complicated answer, but Dr. Larry Davis is the Dean Emeritus of the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work, and he's the director for the Center on Race and Problems. He joins us once again. Welcome back, Dean Davis.
Hi, how are you? Glad to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I'm sorry, social problems is a part of that title. So,
right.
You know what? I mean, I said earlier that I know how hurtful it is for someone to say, go back to your country. Do you think that most people get why that is so painful?
Well, no, but they know it. They know it's a racist comment. You know, I spent time thinking about this just a little bit, and this actually, his working assumptions, I mean, in some respects, he said all these things all along. I mean, he's been saying racist things since he came to office, before he even came to office. But his assumption is, I think, that most white people in the country are racist, and they're not. I mean, these comments, the real implication is, I mean, what more can he do? He's already said all kinds of bad things. He's continuing to say bad things, so I guess he can do something else. But basically, he's already cast a die that he's a racist. The interesting thing is, of course, that he assumes that he will build, that he has white support for this. Well, he does have some.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's doing by saying things like this, sure, he's hurting black people, but black people probably, or people of color, probably know it already and aren't too in out of shape about it. But he's also going to lose some white people because, you know, it's kind of hard to continue to defend him. At first, you know, well, I can excuse this, excuse that. But some people who like some of these things he does but really don't themselves want to be classified as racist are going to back off from him with this statement. The congressmen are in a bind. Of course, we always wonder why they don't stand up and say more.
Mm-hmm.
We know why they don't say more. They don't say more because part of their constituency is part of his constituency. But they'll be happy, I'm sure, to see him leave because he's got them over a barrel. And they have to stand behind things, even silently, that they don't want to stand behind because they can't afford to contradict him. But no, this is actually, on the surface, it is a bad thing. But it's not so more egregious than some of the other things he said. But if there is something positive about it, it says that he's losing. He's not building his base. This is just not going to help him build his base. He actually lost some white people. There are some white people in this country who were formerly for Trump for political reasons, for economic reasons, or something, who peel off at this. Who realize, no, I don't think this is an insult. What I want to tell people to go back to the country in that case, or maybe to tell his wives to go back to their country. I mean, you know, he's done things stuff. This is ridiculous for him to say that. And to point out this, the squad that he's talking about, you know, they're critiquing him. It isn't just the country. I mean, they're saying things that need to change. But that's always been said. I mean, they said this to King. They said this, you know, you get your, I remember one poster during the King era. And it said, get your heart in it, and he then had a donkey or get your behind out of it. And that's always been the critique. That's one of the posters I remember so much about King. So this is nothing new, really. I mean, he's just doing it. Some people are not old enough to remember some of this.
Right.
But it is an insult to them. But we have to think bigger than that. This, for him, is an error. Most white people in this country are not racist. He's not building his base. And I believe he's peeled off some more of his base by saying this. Of course, some people are rock star. They are, in fact, racist. They're not going to leave. And, in fact, they cheer this.
They are
but
encouraged
not everybody,
by it, right.
But not everybody. And it's harder and harder to justify this guy being a good guy.
Well, so, I was going to say, I mean, so to me, there is something very unpresidential about a president making these kinds of remarks. And now today, he's asking these same women that he blasted over the weekend to apologize. He's asking them to apologize.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. It's interesting that he's asking them to apologize when, to my knowledge, he's never apologized for anything.
Insults
he's made, things he said to bad people, bad comments, women grabbing them, groping them, saying things to people. I don't recall him saying ever apologizing for anything he's ever done. So to ask for an apology from them is ridiculous. And people recognize that for being ridiculous. I mean, we need to be strategic about how we think and not have a knee-jerk reaction to everything this guy does. I mean, he's doing these things, but we've seen them. So, okay, what's the message? Where do we go from here? We vote. That's what we do from here. We vote. So I want to talk to people about something. This is the time. Good white people out there are bothered by this, and my message to them is to vote. Go out and vote against this guy. He does not represent America. He does not represent most white people in the country, and he certainly does not represent people of goodwill. The answer to these things are indignation is okay, but the real answer to this is to vote him out of office. He is unfit to be president of the United States.
Now, earlier today, I made the statement on this radio show that this is not, these type of attitudes do not represent the America that I know. And one of our callers called in and said, but it's the America that exists today. I still want to believe in my heart, this is not the America that I know.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it is America that exists today. You know, I'm writing something that talks about that a little bit. You do have some people who've always been where they are. And what he's done, of course, is giving them a voice to say those things and for him to say those things. But we shouldn't be, you know, we should be smarter than this. No, he does represent, it is a sad commentary on America, but he does represent some portion of America. But it's a small portion of America. When we're talking about 30% of his base, I mean, that's 30%, you know, it's not, he can't win. But all of our energies at this point with regard to Trump should be removing him from office. He can't win with 30%. He can't win with 40%. He can't win with just his base. So what do we do? I mean, you know, we can walk around and be mad and that won't get us there. I advocated people. That's my position towards him now completely. Vote him out.
Vote him out. I'm going to put you on hold, Dr. Larry Davis. We're going to continue this conversation. You're going to stick around, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, awesome. Dr. Larry Davis on the line with us. He'll be back. We are back with our guest, Dr. Larry Davis. He is the Dean Emeritus of the School of Social Work at the University of Pittsburgh and the Director for the Center on Race and Social Problems. Thanks for hanging in there, Dr. Davis.
Hi, good to be back.
So one of the things that I feel like, and it shows up in this radio show on a regular basis, is that we as a society aren't comfortable having honest conversations about race.
Well, because it's painful. I mean, it's painful for everybody, actually. I mean, it's painful for whites because, you know, there's a certain amount of guilt with that. They recognize that certainly African Americans have, you know, experienced a very racist time. And Black Americans are often not in such a hurry to have discussions about it because it brings back painful thoughts, painful experiences. And so it's kind of like the topic that you know, needs to be talked about. It's the elephant in the room, but everybody has a little reticence about talking about it.
But if we don't talk about it, how do we move past it?
Well, we are. You know, I think one of the things that's happening now in the country that I'm really so impressed with is that America is finally beginning to come to grips or at least acknowledge slavery. You know, you and I were in school. We had nothing on slavery. Slavery in this country took place 246 years. I mean, this country was a slave country longer than it was a free country, and we hear nothing about it. You know, we had these statues of basically people who fought for slavery. You know, we sort of never really condemned these people as we should have. Basically, they were traitors. Basically, they went against the American government. They fought not for a just cause. But now we see that. You know, you have it shows up in art first. You know, we had in 12 Years a Slave. We saw some of it in Lincoln. We saw some in Django, which is, of course, a spoof. But, you know, people now are talking about slavery, reparations. The country is recognizing, you know, that this is very much part of our history, and we really need to address it. We suppressed it for 100 years. but 150 years, actually, or longer. But now people are starting to talk about it. So I think the whole conversation about reparations that's coming up now, more is happening now than ever has ever happened before. I'm encouraged by the discussions about racism and what we should do about it. So I'm actually optimistic about it.
Even when, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, even when we have a president who says, make America great again, which many interpret as him saying, make America white again.
Oh, I do too. That's absolutely what he means. I mean, that's false hope on his part. I mean, the demographics are against him. I mean, you know, it just isn't working that way. In fact, for last year, the majority of children born in the country were children of color. I mean, it just isn't happening. You know, certainly even in a short period of time, 2043, you know, half of the country will be non-white. So, you know, we need to think about that. The country is changing. People need to be enlightened. Fortunately, the younger people seem to be more comfortable with this. You know, I look at TV, I look at the commercials, and I am, you know, sometimes surprised myself at the degree of integration. You know, sort of marriages and kids.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
sure, yeah.
That, in fact, the TV or the media is more integrated than, in fact, the society is. But what it is, it's a harbinger. It's a harbinger of things to come. It always comes through art first. They always say, this is how it's going to be. And pretty soon, indeed, it is that way. So, you know, I think we all need to think about this, get rid of this guy. You know, he is saying some things. There are some racist people in this country. The majority of white people in this country are not racist. I think, you know, we'll move past this. It's a difficult time. The economics, there are a couple of things that make this difficult for us. It just came at a difficult time. The economics of the country are bad. I mean, we talk about the stock market. Yeah, that's great if you own stock, but only it's like some, I forgot, some 30% of Americans
right,
have stock.
Right, own stock, yeah.
So, you know, this too will pass. And it's always, you know, during the civil rights movement, people said, oh, King's causing trouble. Everything was peaceful until King came into the civil rights movement. Yeah, it happened. Reagan said, hey, there's no race problem. He was a kid. I mean, it's ridiculous comments. But, you know, things go on. They move. The change always creates some discomfort. And that's kind of what we're in. But this has to happen, I think, for us to move on. And so in some respects, Trump is fostering, promoting a conversation on race by the things that he's saying.
Indeed.
If he was a nice guy and didn't say anything, swept under the rug, we wouldn't have these discussions. But he's forcing us to do it.
Indeed. Dr. Larry Davis, I got to run, but thanks so much for joining us today. You raised a lot of food for thought. I got some folks on the phone that want to respond, so thank you so much, Dr. Davis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.